You're listening to NPR Illinois. I'm Sean Crawford. We're entering the busiest shopping time of the year, but when it comes to how we do our shopping, there have been seismic changes, much of that driven by technology, reflecting more convenience. We've heard about mass layoffs and store closings in the retail sector. Some landmark companies are barely hanging on, and some have actually gone away. So with the holiday shopping season kicking off, we thought it was a good time to chat with Rob Carr. He's the president and CEO of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association. We talked to him about the state of retail in the state of Illinois.
I think one thing to remember is retail has always been the most evolutionary of the business sectors in the nation and in the world, frankly. So change in retail sector is not anything abnormal. I would argue, I think, however, that the rate of change has certainly sped up, but we've all experienced a rate of change in our lives. It's driven in part to a great deal by technology. Technology is impacting the way retailers conduct business, just as it's impacting the way manufacturers manufacture and other things. I think it's perhaps a little later getting to the retail sector, but it has hit it full force, and they are all working very hard to adjust to it. Frankly, it's happening so fast, I think that it's a little hard. Retail kind of teased the consumer as to what the expectations were. Madison Avenue. Now, frankly, it's the customer who's leading the way. It's really technology has led to the democratization of retail. And so retailers are scrambling not only to keep up with the ever-changing demands of the consumers, but to anticipate those. And that's getting a lot harder to do. So you have that going on.
Well, talk a little bit about your organization and the people you represent, the retailers you represent.
Sure. So IRMA, Illinois Retail Merchants Association, is a statewide association. Our main purpose is advocacy. We advocate on behalf of Illinois retailers and the customers they serve and the employees they employ every day. We advocate in Springfield, the city of Chicago, and before the Cook County Board, which makes us unique among state retail associations. We have in our membership everybody from the largest to the smallest, so from the Targets, Walmarts, Walgreens of the world, down to mom-and-pop independent stores on Main Street who have one location. And we have everyone in our representative of our membership, from fashion and mass merchandise to pharmacies to grocery stores to hardware stores. You name it, we probably have some example of it in our membership. And so that's what we do on behalf of them.
So you probably have within the membership some differences of opinion when it comes to things like, how technology is helping or hurting retail in that respect. I mean, we've seen that in the sense that we hear about, the online shopping and that people aren't going to Main Street anymore, or the shopping malls, they're able to buy online. So that's probably a bit of a tightrope to walk when it comes to having that broad of a membership.
Interestingly, it's not as divisive as you would think. So unlike some other associations that I know have been plagued, who represent different sectors of the economy, our membership has always taken the position that as long as it's a level playing field, they're okay. So, for example, there was a rub over the collection of sales tax, for example, on remote sellers, internet sellers collecting sales tax. But that's primarily because the sales tax code should have been applied uniformly. They're not arguing to protect their method of business versus someone else's, right? That's someone who's chosen a different way of doing business, and that's their choice. But interestingly, whether it's a large or small issue, historically, our larger members have said if it's not good for small, it's not good for us, and vice versa. We had the situation in 2006, 2007 in the city of Chicago where they wanted to ban larger format stores from coming into the city. And some of the most vociferous and vocal opponents of that were the small retailers, which was an interesting dynamic. But long answer to a short question, John, but no, we really haven't had those kind of splits.
You mentioned online sales taxes in the state of Illinois. There was a U.S. Supreme Court ruling recently. Right. Sounding as though now that the state of Illinois and other states are working to find ways so that online sales and sales taxes are then collected on those and given back to the state. Your organization, I know, has been involved with that. Are you satisfied with where that is at this point?
We are. In fact, we were the first state to pass something to try to level the playing field well over a decade ago. And South Dakota ultimately pushed what became the Wayfair decision through to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled and overturned the Bella Hess case. But anyway, yes, we're very satisfied that we had successfully had inserted into the budget last May a language identical to the South Dakota language that the Supreme Court affirmed. So Illinois is positioned and has started requiring remote sellers to collect as of October 1st. So that playing field has been leveled.
I believe I understood it that the state revenue department is working with other states to also collect information and will share some of that information. Are you comfortable with that?
I believe there is some sharing of information over who's collecting and who's not, but I don't know exactly what IDOR is sharing with other departments of revenue.
We're talking with Rob Carr, President and CEO of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association. I guess it's safe to say that the old days of retail, that Main Street, that you go down and you buy a hammer maybe at the hardware store, there are still some of those around. But the days of that are probably passing by. We're seeing the bigger box stores. We're seeing more online shopping. Is it safe to say that retail has crossed a bridge, a new future ahead?
It's certainly crossed a bridge into the new future in terms of technology. I think it's also crossed a bridge, and technology has enabled this crossing and, frankly, forced this crossing. So it used to be that you would have, a retailer had to be in a community if they were going to serve that community. That's no longer the case. A Macy's, for example, just to use one example, can serve a much broader area out of one store than they used to, or a JCPenney. And that's because they are now using that location as a fulfillment center, as a distribution center of sorts. So JCPenney doesn't have to have an outlet in Jacksonville and Quincy and Taylorville and Springfield. They could theoretically serve some or all of those locations out of a more centrally located store. But I also think we're seeing a little bit of a full circle movement. You're seeing particularly in urban areas where the large format stores are starting to come back. They're starting to abandon those and come back to smaller format stores to fit the space restrictions. I also think as you look at malls, cross the two, but I think they go together. You know, the consumer has changed. They no longer want to walk into a mall and walk a mile to get to something. They want to pull up. So you see the old-fashioned malls, as you and I might have grown up with, changing. But you see what I would call the outlet malls or the strip malls, where if someone pulls up much closer to a store or a set of stores that they want to shop at, thriving. So it's really a mixed bag. And you're also seeing, I think, smaller stores come back, particularly in the food and beverage service arena, where you're getting more of the craft approach. And I don't mean just craft beers, but I'm talking coffee shops and bakeries and other things.
And these are also moving, it seems, into more of the urban core of cities rather than what we had seen, which was retail expansion, out on the edges, on the fringes of town, driving people away from downtown. In some cases, this is helping to revitalize downtowns.
It most certainly is. Exactly.
If we go back to, say, the 90s and maybe the early 2000s, there was certainly a construction boom underway. And I have read some people have argued that maybe retail, just in general, overshot there, that maybe there was too much retail space built in many towns that couldn't be sustained. Do you agree with that, and do you think that that is changing?
To a large degree, I do agree with that. I think that is part of the correction that we are seeing here. Now, it's driven by many different factors, but one of the contributing factors is there's simply just too much capacity. And how many different places can you buy the same red dress or the same red polo or whatever it may be, particularly now that you can do it online and you can get it delivered to you from a store that's closer to you or another fulfillment center? That was driven in large part, we're coming off of 20 plus years of the Federal Reserve having essentially a 0% discount rate to banks, and that helped drive what I would argue now is speculative investment. You had investment firms who forever thought retail would just continually to increase, and while there's a certain degree of truth to that, as I mentioned just a minute ago, you get to a point where there's oversaturation. I think there's some of that here as well.
Earlier, you mentioned that Cook County, Chicago area, that your organization is active and represents a lot of businesses there. One of the things I've been reading about recently was the Cook County State's Attorney talking about, I believe it was sort of a lessening of punishment for shoplifting. And then what I've read about that is since that has occurred, there seems to be a lot of concern among retailers saying that they've seen cases and incidents of shoplifting increase. What's going on with that and, the stance that your organization takes about it?
Well, we are seeing increases. Our members are talking frequently on increases, particularly in the organized retail crime arena. You have literally gangs who roam from town to town and state to state, and they will literally walk into a store and sweep whatever item or items they're looking for and walk out. The proponents of these changes have argued over time that if you increase the felony threshold for retail theft, currently it's $300 in Illinois, and we are admittedly one of the lowest in the nation, but that if you increase it, they've really seen no increases in larceny. Now, they're switching the debate. Larceny is a basket of some other crimes. They're right about that. But if you peel back that cover and you look at specifically retail theft, FBI statistics show us that retail theft is actually increasing. And in states where the felony theft threshold has increased, the amount and value of the items stolen has increased. So thieves know exactly what they're stealing and how much to avoid. So we're vociferously opposed to increasing that because I think people, it's no longer a victimless crime either. People tend to perceive as retail theft as, well, somebody's just, you know, it's some kid. The fact is 80% of the people who are caught stealing have the money in their pocket to purchase the item that they just stole. So it's not a need function. The average age is well over 21. So it's not teens selling or kids stealing candy bars. For every item that's stolen, that is a piece of that retailer's profit that they now can't recover, and they have to sell more of something else somehow to make it up. So it's really it's making it harder for retailers to make their margins, and retail is one of the tightest margin industries in our economy.
As a business organization, and it seems as though most business organizations I've talked to through the years spend a lot of time maybe pushing for certain changes, but quite often it's to keep government from making changes they may feel are detrimental to them. You've talked to state lawmakers. You're watching what the legislature is up to. What are some of the key issues you think going forward in the near term that could help or hurt retail?
Well, I think as we look into the 101st Assembly will be seated in early January, and obviously we'll have a new gubernatorial administration with Governor-elect Pritzker's successful election just a week or so ago. It has, and the Democrats now have, you know, supermajority status in both chambers as well as all the statewide offices. There is going to be some hubris, I think, in certain quarters of the Democratic Party to pass things like, you know, a $15 or more minimum wage, to regulate the way that retailers and other businesses schedule their employees, to really micromanage. But then there's also the fact that we have to deal with, and I think the state has to deal with, the fiscal problems that have plagued the state, not just over the last 4 years, as some would have us believe, but over, frankly, decades. And it's just been getting worse. And as business looks around, that's one of the things that drives you away from Illinois, is the instability, the question, where is our state going, and how's it going to get there? And so we're looking for stability. I don't think you can have all of the above and expect businesses to thrive in Illinois. You can't expect the revenue increases that will certainly come with trying to solve that fiscal problem. We hope it's also, but you're going to have spending restraint over a long period of time. But you can't also then layer on all those other mandates as well. An all above approach will be detrimental. So we're going to be looking for and advocating for some restraint as we engage proactively, as at least our association has done repeatedly over the decades, to try to solve problems, but to do so in a constructive manner.
When it comes to, you know, opportunities and challenges that face the retail industry, especially here in the state of Illinois going forward, it seems as though there are, you know, positives out there, but there's also, as you mentioned, there's some headwinds that you're fighting against.
There are headwinds, and it'll become a policy decision where the state wants to go. As I just touched upon, it can't be an all of the above approach. We will take, as I indicated, the approach we've always taken, which is to work proactively with those who want to solve problems. I come from the school of thought that there's typically a way to solve the problems if people of goodwill want to sit down. But if everybody wants to demonize and throw stones, it becomes really hard. We have some of those issues. We have the theft issues. We talked about the tax issues, but just the general fiscal stability issue, I think, that we need to talk about. Illinois, I think, has a tremendous amount of advantages going for it. If we are smart enough to be restrained and to leverage those advantages, Illinois can see brighter days again. And with it, the retail sector can see brighter days. I think we also need to get – everyone needs to look beyond retail as just the point of sale, the interaction we see at the point of sale. It's not just, quote-unquote, a sales clerk who's making minimum wage. In fact, it's much more. The technology has changed that. It's now a high-tech sector that can really has some tremendous professional opportunities for those who want to take advantage of it.
That's Rob Carr, President and CEO of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association, and thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, Sean. Thank you for having me.